Okay, last thing we're learning, the way Chava was built from the spare ribs. From even a Satzel, two opinions, whether it was the side of Adam Rishon or the rib of Adam Rishon. And, Adam called animal, the names of all the animals, he brought Chava to Adam. And Adam said, now I finally got my match. Okay, what?
So, Hashem created all of the animals too, male and female.
No, he created a lot of animals.
Okay, but it was two of each, no?
No, that was for the flood, by the Teva. Hashem didn't create two dogs and two cats. He created hundreds of dogs, hundreds, thousands, or whatever, I don't know.
But all male? I mean, not male and female?
Male and female.
So why couldn't Hashem make male and female for the...
So we learned because a person has to know that the whole world is affected by every action one person does. We discussed that. The Mishnah says, Lama nivra Adam yechidi. Why did God create Adam and Ishan alone? Everybody else he created many at a time. The answer is because Hashem wants that a person should realize that whatever I do, the whole world is coming from one person. Meaning whatever I do affects the whole universe for all generations to come. Okay. So he says like this. Pasik, we're going to start Pasik of Hey. The last thing we learned, a man therefore should leave his father and mother's house, cling to his wife, and they should become one, like we said, through the child, 14. The father and mother become one. Page 14. Okay, then the pasuk says like this. Vayushneim, this is the introduction, really, to the Chetei Tzadas. Vayushneim, Arumim, Adam and Chava were both naked. Adam v'Yishneim, Adam and his wife, V'layis Poshoshu, they were not ashamed. When even they're not ashamed, evil did not exist yet in the world in the way that it permeated them. Evil existed as a separate thing. Eitz Hadas, Tovara, good and bad. Good was separate, like good and bad was separate. So therefore the bottom line is, there was no evil Yetzer Hara yet. There was no evil inclination yet. There was no concept of clothing. Okay? So, ladies by Shasha, they weren't embarrassed at all. They didn't have the concept of modesty yet. Okay, so then it says like this. V'anochesh shoyu Adam. The nochesh was cunning. Mikol chayis esode, from all the beasts, all the animals of the field, asher osa Hashem Elokim, that God made. The nochesh, according to many opinions in the Medrash, at this point, the nochesh, the snake, was walking on two legs, like a person. Okay? The nochesh was a brilliant, look at it, he was smartest of all the creatures of the world. When he saw, others, what the Medrash says, when he saw Adam and Chava, because there was no shame, they were having intimacy in public, because there was nothing to hide from, because there was no evil yet that existed, just like animals, basically. So the nochesh was jealous. Even though the nochesh had Mrs. Nochesh, even though the snake also had a wife, I mean, basically, other female animals, but he was jealous of Adam and Chava. Why? Because, and this will first say, explain interestingly, animals procreating are instinctive. There's no enjoyment from it by animals. It is because they instinctively reproduce. By mankind, it was also a pleasurable thing. So therefore, when the Nochesh, this is what the Medrash says, when the Nochesh saw that Adam and Chava were intimate, so it caused a jealousy that he had between Adam and Chava. So he wanted to make problems. Okay? But Yemer Elisha, so he says to the woman, okay, Av ki Omer Elikim Leisechum Mikol Eitzegan, is it true that God said you can't eat from any of the trees? This was a cunning guy getting Chava to sin. But he didn't come over to her. The Yetzer doesn't work like that. Yetzer doesn't come over to a Jew and say, go worship idols. He knows the person's not going to listen. He starts, why didn't you stop doing this a little bit and do less of this? And it's not so bad, you could do this. And then he gets him, like he says in the Gemara, Hayyem Amalekach, Today he tells him to do this. The next day he tells him to do this. And finally, the third day, he tells him to go worship idols. But he doesn't start directly with it. So the Nachash got into a conversation with Chava. The interesting question the commentators ask, how did he speak? How did he communicate?
Did he speak by Bilam?
Okay, so that was a miracle that the Torah says. No, the Mefarshim talk about that, by the way. They say, some Mefarshim learn that the Nachash was a miracle, and God allowed him to communicate, just like the Bilam's donkey, and he allowed him to communicate. Okay? And in fact, the Chizkuni says, just like Hashem opened the mouth of Bilam's donkey, he opened up the snake. Ibn Ezra says, okay, that because the Nachash was standing like a person, he had the wisdom of a person. Therefore, it says he was the smartest of all animals. So therefore, just like Hashem allowed other magicians to speak, yeah, he allowed actually the Nachash to speak. So Ibn Ezra says that the Nachash was speaking. Okay, other people say, one second, Radak say it was a miracle. Chizkuni, okay, according to Barbanel says very interesting, the snake does not speak. He didn't speak. What did he do? And the proof of it, he says, because the pasuk doesn't say that God opened the mouth of the snake. By Bilam's donkey, the Torah says God opened the mouth of the donkey. But he doesn't say it here. So he says, well, like this. The snake spoke by his actions. He crawled up the tree and was eating the fruits. And he said, you see, nothing happens to him. He climbed up the Eitzadas, he ate from the tree, and nothing happened. So he wanted to show to Chava, nothing is going to happen to you also. Okay? Now, why did he come to Chava, not to Adam?
Where was Adam?
Huh?
Where was Adam?
Where was Adam? In the garden. Taking the suntan. Didn't have any clothes on, they could take a beautiful suntan. He was married about an hour, by the way. Well, he was. We all know where he was. It doesn't say where he was. One second. So Mepharshim explained, why did he go to the woman and not to the man? Nothing personal. It's only two of you here and we're outnumbered. You guys are, okay. So, they'll protect me. It's easier to convince a woman to do something than a man. Right? You know that. No. Okay, anyway. That's the reality. It says, the Medrash says, because he reasoned that women are easy to beguile than men. What?
The snake loses his feet because he eats from the tree, correct?
Well, because he caused Chava to sin. No, the snake was allowed to eat from the tree.
Okay.
Adam and Chava were not allowed to eat from the tree. He lost his feet, well, all the other curses, because he caused them to sin.
I see.
But he himself was not a problem.
So,
what?
What language is this?
Hebrew. No, that's for sure. The world was created in Hebrew until the generation when the Babylonian tower, the whole world spoke Hebrew for 15 generations more. They only spoke Hebrew. What?
I don't know.
The angels?
They
don't talk. They,
okay.
Angels fly.
Is it the same Hebrew
that you're reading now? Yeah, the same Hebrew. But do you have a different one?
I mean, Aramaic.
Aramaic is not Hebrew. Aramaic is a different language. They spoke Hebrew. The world was created in Lashon Kodesh in Hebrew. And Rashi says later in the Yechvi, the people spoke Hebrew. That was the thing that they spoke. After they made the tower, you know, and God spread them out in 70 languages, so he created 70 languages. But initially they spoke in, so the Nachash spoke to Chava in Hebrew, if he spoke, according to those opinions that he spoke. Okay, so he says like this. Now, the fact was, Adam and Chava were eating from the other trees. Right? It was only they said that, the tree of knowledge, you were not allowed to eat from. And Hashem said clearly, you could eat from all the trees. So it means they were eating from all the trees. So what does he say to her Is it true? God said you cannot eat from any of the trees. So he says, just to focus and get into a conversation. You know, certain opening statements you say just to get into a conversation? Okay. You ever hear somebody calls you up on the phone? It's remarkable. I love when this happens. It always happens every day, 30, 50, 100 times a day. Somebody calls you up, hi, how are you? And then they keep talking. They don't bother to wait until you answer the question they asked you, right? You ever know, guy, somebody calls you up, hi, how are you? And before you even have a chance to answer, they're already talking further.
I'm usually offended if I don't get a descriptive answer.
Okay, that's good. You should be offended. Okay, so now, so the Medrash also says like this, the Nachash said to Chava, if God doesn't let you eat from all the trees, why did he create them for? Obviously, if God created them, they're for you to eat them. Okay? So listen what happens. Why does he use the name Elohim?
14.
Why did they use the name Av Ki Omer Elohim? Why does he say Av Ki Omer Elohim, and even though the pasuk at the beginning says Hashem Elohim? The answer is the only name of God which was known to mankind at that time was only the name of Elohim. Because what created the world? Elohim. Bereshis bara Elohim. Vayom Elohim. Vayom Elohim. Everything was Elohim. Which is God coming in the natural form. When God creates nature. So even Chava and Adam only knew the name of Elohim. So the Nachash, when he's speaking to Chava, says, Av ki omer Elohim, is it true that Elohim said, Leisechum mikol eitz hagan, that you can't eat from any of the trees? Again, to get her into the conversation. So we're going to learn a few psukim and then I'll get to discuss it. Vatemer isha nachosh. So the woman said to the snake, no, mipri eitz hagan nechel. We could eat from all the trees. Except, mipri eitz shebeseich hagan, but from the fruit of the garden. Om Elohim, what do you mean in the middle of the garden? We learned a few weeks ago that the Eitz Hadas was exactly in the middle of the garden. So she said to him, to the snake, no, we're allowed to eat from all the fruits, from all the trees, except the one that's in the middle of the garden, meaning the Eitz Hadas, that we're not allowed to eat from. And it could be, unfortunately, why did she say from the tree that's in the middle of the garden? Why didn't she say we can't eat from the Eitz Hadas? Because it could be she didn't even know it was Eitz Hadas. God didn't tell him yet it was Eitz Hadas Tevera. And therefore, when God spoke to Adam, he said you can eat from all the things except the one with the tree that's in the middle of the garden. The Torah calls it Eitz Hadas because we know what it was at the end. But afterwards, they didn't even know the name of the tree. They just knew the tree was in the middle of the garden. And Hashem said, don't eat from it. And not only that, you shouldn't touch it. Pentamus, unless you will die. And this is, these two words is a whole lesson in itself. Chava said to the snake, he said, is it true? God said you can't eat from any of the trees. So she said, no, we can eat from all the trees, except the Eitz Hadas, right, the tree of knowledge. And then she added that God said, and don't touch it. God never said don't touch it. God never said don't touch it. God said don't eat. When she said that, that's exactly what the Nachash wanted to hear. Because what did he do? He pushed her against the tree and nothing happened. She didn't die. So he said, look at this. You told me that you're not allowed to eat from it and you're not allowed to touch it. But what happened, you're touching it and nothing happened to you. So nothing's going to happen to you when you eat from the tree also. So this is how the Nachash got Chava to eat from the tree. Because she added two words. Before we discuss the other thing, I want to just take a few minutes on this concept of adding on what God told you to do. There's two negative commandments in the Torah, from the 613. You're not allowed to add on to mitzvahs, and you're not allowed to deduct from mitzvahs. Leisaisiv, v'leisigra. You can't make more, and you can't make less. If somebody puts five tzitzis on the garment instead of four, they're getting a negative commandment of adding on gatzit four tzitzis, and you're putting five. Even if you have a five-cornered garment, right? And you put five-cornered tzitzis instead of four, not only you're not getting a mitzvah tzitzis, you're actually getting a sin for adding on what God said. God said four, and you're making five. The tefillin has four boxes. If you make three, you're deducting, no good. You're adding, it's no good. Okay? In fact, there's a famous question that Rambam himself asks in his introduction. If God says there's 613 mitzvahs, and we're not allowed to add to mitzvahs, how could the rabbis add seven mitzvahs? There's seven rabbinic mitzvahs. How could they add seven rabbinic mitzvahs if the Torah says you can't add? So the Rambam explains very simple. They're not adding on to mitzvahs. They're not saying God said there's 620. They're saying God says 613. We are making seven mitzvahs, but we're not adding to the Torah. The rabbis can come along and say wear five tzitzis instead of four, because the Torah says you have to wear four.
One second.
The question though is, I understand taking off mitzvahs. Yeah, the Torah says four tzitzis, you can't make three. The Torah says four things lulav and asri, you can't make five. Okay, I understand that. But why is there a problem adding onto mitzvahs? If four is good, five is not better. Why doesn't the Torah allow us, and like this Sinchava did, the Torah says don't eat, and she added don't touch, and because of that, the whole Eitz Hadas came about. You know, all the problems we have today in the world, having to work for a living, childbearing, all that stuff, yeah, all the problems in the world came about the Eitz Hadas. What caused Eitz Hadas to happen? Why did she eat from the tree? Because she touched it, nothing happened. But God didn't tell her, she added to it. So the answer is like this. To give you a physical analogy of it and then discuss it in a spiritual sense. You go to a doctor, prescribes a medication. Okay? Take three times a day, take a pill, right? So basically, what are you doing? Taking three pills a day to get cured. So, stop to think for a minute. If three pills a day cure me, if I should take 10 pills a day. If three pills a day are good, 10 pills a day is medicine. It's for sure gonna work. Now, obviously, not only is it not gonna cure you, it's gonna kill you. It's called overdosing. Yeah? The question, why? Why? If three is good, why isn't 10 better? The answer is, in things that are precise and exact, too much is no good, and too little is no good. And just say too little is no good, too much can be more dangerous than too little. More overdosing is worse than not taking any, or taking less than the prescription. It's not going to kill you. Overdosing will kill you. Because things that are exact have to be exact. Because otherwise, I'll give you another example. They build a bridge, okay, the Golden State Bridge, in Northern California, yeah, the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a mile long, whatever it is, yeah? If a guy is off in the measurements by a half an inch, God forbid, the whole bridge can collapse. So the question is, the bridge is a mile long. How much is already a half an inch percentage of this mile bridge? Big deal. Right? The answer is, it is a very big deal. Because if you're not going to have the exact measurements, or a building, you build a little bit off, God forbid the building collapses. So the question, what's wrong? You took a 100-story building, and you're going to be a half an inch off in the foundation. I mean, big deal. The answer is things that are exactly precise must be the exact way they're doing it.
Okay, can I ask you?
Not yet.
I'm next on the question.
We'll have a board meeting, told us first.
Numbers.
No, board meetings, people that are bored, get together. Now, so the question is, why is it like that? You know, a lot of times people say, okay, why do I have to keep Shabbos 100%? I can keep it 90%. It's also good. The 90% is a good batting average, you know? For those of you that play baseball, if you're American.
400.
Huh?
So it's 400.
400, that's only 4/10. 2/5. It's also a pretty good average, right? So if I keep 90% of the mitzvah, what's the big deal? Why do, you know, because in these things of godliness, of preciseness, of perfection, and importance, everything has to be exact. Too much is no good, and too little is no good. And you see from this, Chava just added, she didn't take off, she just added two words, V'lei Sigu. We can't touch it. The whole evil of why the world is cursed, and the earth is cursed, and men are cursed, and women are cursed, and animals are, everybody's cursed until the end of all time, because of two words that she added onto the mitzvahs of the Torah.
Was she saying that, or was she saying God said that?
She said God said it.
But in, like, right before, like...
Amar Elikim, no. Amar Elikim, God said, don't eat from it, and lisigubay, and don't touch it. She said, God said that. Now, we have in Torah, okay, fences that the rabbis made. We have fences around the Torah. As somebody would say, to make it a safer Torah. To make it a safer Torah. Safer, right? Okay. When you have a hole in the ground, a pit in the street, you don't let people walk all the way to the pit and say, don't go in. What do? They make a fence around it. You have a cliff. They don't let people go all the way to the cliff and say, okay, don't jump. They put a fence and a barrier. You shouldn't even come. That the Chachamim were obligated to do by the Torah, that you make a fence that people shouldn't come
to sin.
To God forbid sin. But they're not saying this is what God said. They're saying God said don't eat chametz from a certain time. The rabbis came and added an hour or two because he said, listen, people can make a mistake. But they're not saying God said don't eat chametz 2 hours before God said so. They're saying, God said don't eat mat chametz, they're saying, out of Pesach, the day before Pesach, after midday. Chametz come along and say, we want to protect you, so we're going to make it an hour or two earlier. But again, they're not adding to what God said. They're not saying that's what God said. They're saying this is what God said. To protect you, this is what we're going to make a fence around the Torah. And, but Chava's saying over here, she didn't say, God said don't eat, and therefore I don't want to touch it either. She's saying, God said don't touch. Yeah. And if God said don't touch, then you got a problem.
Maybe she derived that through some Kabbalistic...
Doubt it.
God,
what's your problem?
Pretty much you answered.
Huh?
Pretty much you answered.
Okay.
I'm just going to say that some people, they don't want to accept it. Any hardship because it's too religious and too this and that. So sometimes you have to go a little bit stricter to make the person to understand the mitzvah or to have fear of Hashem for doing a mitzvah.
No.
And so you go a little bit harder to convince the people that what you're doing is wrong and this is the way you're supposed to do.
So what are you bringing out?
That when you're saying that the Rabbanim already put the fence around of the Torah, right?
Right.
So they already did it. They didn't do what they did. In order, you don't go...
But sometimes you need a fence on the fence. Sometimes you have to make a fence on the fence.
On the fence, on another
really
fence, on another
right. And you might as well just stay home, yeah. One second. I didn't forget about you. I can't forget about you.
I might forget.
That's okay then. You know, we find, okay, earlier generations, there was things that were the rabbis did not forbid yet. I'll give you an example. Chicken and milk is rabbinic. Meat and milk is biblical. Yeah? So, the rabbis, before the rabbis came along, chicken and milk was allowed. Correct? You're allowed to eat chicken and milk, because it's not really meat. Okay, it's not a chalivim, there's no milk of the mother. Okay. So according to Chassidus, why in the earlier generations were people allowed to eat it? And now, the rabbi said, you can't eat it. And now it's forbidden to eat. Why? So the answer is, the purpose of utilizing the world, whether it's eating or utilizing the world, is to elevate it to holiness. The person eats, they make a bracha, they eat kosher, they take the power that they have from eating and drinking and food, whatever, and you serve God properly, like a Jew should. So then what happens is you elevate the food. As generations go downward, which is reality, as generations degress, so then the earlier generations were able to eat and elevate chicken and milk. We can't. We're not that great to elevate chicken and milk. And if we can't elevate it, then the Torah forbids it, or the rabbis forbid it. And same thing with a lot of things in life. The earlier generations were permitted, and now they're not, because the earlier generations, the people were greater, they were able to elevate things, and we're not able to. And therefore it became forbidden. Okay.
So,
what? Your turn. Yeah.
You were mentioning tzitzit. Okay. Four-cornered garment. Now, you open Shulchan Aruch, anything, it's going to say, it's going to recommend wearing tzitzit.
Now, what does that have to do with what we're talking
about? Because you're talking about tzitzit.
I don't know what we have to talk about tzitzit class.
So why should everybody feel guilt if they don't wear tzitzit during the day? Like, isn't that...
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about, adding or deducting.
It's adding on. It's definitely adding on.
No, it's not adding on.
Like, you know...
What's the level of importance of I enjoy this meal versus I'm using it as sustenance so I can serve Hashem?
The ideal situation is I'm eating the meal because I want to serve Hashem. We are not on that level. Okay? One of the reasons God made, says in books, in Torah books, eating is a very strong desire. Okay? And sexual relations are very strong desires. Why did God make those two things very powerful? Because if God didn't make the enjoyment of eating powerful, who would eat? Nobody would want to eat. And what happens if we don't eat? All the food that we should be elevating, because we're not eating it, because we don't desire to eat, is not being elevated. If sexual pleasures wouldn't be pleasurable, nobody would have kids. Right? So therefore, the whole concept of creation wouldn't exist. So Hashem made certain things extremely enjoyable, but for the sake of getting the person to do it for holiness, because otherwise they wouldn't do it. So Hillel, the Gemara says, the famous Hillel, when he went to eat a meal, he said, I'm going to do a favor to my shamed one. I mean, I'm going to do a favor to my body. I'm going to throw it a bone. You know, like you throw the dog a bone? No, God forbid, I'm sorry. You don't throw a dog's bone nowadays, you throw them steaks. But you throw a dog a bone, so then what happens? He said like this, I'm only doing it because my body needs to eat, so I have to give in to it. I need a healthy body. But that's a very lofty level. We're not on that level. You know, we could enjoy. But again, there's a difference between enjoying your meal or living to eat. A Jew is supposed to eat to live. Right? We eat to live. Some people live to eat. And that's against Torah. But not to enjoy food, we're not on that level. I mean, let's be realistic. It's not going to work. Okay, anyway, so that's the terrible sin of adding on to mitzvahs of Hashem, like Chava did, that caused the whole problem. Okay.
So
what?
Just you mentioned food, so is this correct to enjoy the food and give blessing?
We're not on that level.
Yeah, but you mentioned that it's not correct to add something or to remove something. So if you are supposed for Purim drink wine, for example, and it's told like 4 cups or whatever. So if you are not, is it correct?
If what?
So if you don't, let's say you refuse to drink wine on Shabbat, so this is wrong? Or not?
It depends. There's a halacha, a Shulchan Aruch, that says sometimes you can get away without drinking wine, sometimes you have to drink wine.
Okay.
So it depends, but taking off mitzvahs or adding mitzvahs, what Chava did over here, God said don't eat it, and she said, God said don't touch it. And that's where the problem was. Okay, so, coming back to the dialogue between the snake and Chava. Okay, so then the snake comes to Chava and says, is it true Hashem said you can't eat? She says, no, we can eat from all the fruits, except the Eitz Hadas. Okay, that we can't eat. So the Nachash said, in Pasuk Dalet, Vayema Nachash Elisha, so the snake said to the women, no, Leima is to Musim, you're not going to die. Okay, how? Like the Medrash says, he pushed her against the tree, nothing happened to her, and he said, you see, I eat from the tree, nothing happens to me. So you, either you misunderstood, or God never said it, or it's not that important. Okay? Now, so, the Chizkuni says a little different twist to it. He says to her, if you touch the tree already and you're gonna die anyway, so you might as well eat from it. He said, you're not gonna die, because you're already supposed to die from, because she said, God said, don't touch it. Right? So, Chizkuni says, what the Nachash said to her, you're not gonna die anyway, I mean, you're dying anyway because you touched it, so you might as well enjoy it while you're at it.
What was the curiosity about?
What?
So why did they go and eat the other fruits?
They did.
I know, but what was the
You know the expression, stolen water is sweet? Mm-hmm. Shlema Melech says, Mayim Gnuvim Yimtoku, stolen waters are sweet. Everybody knows that. What's forbidden is more tempting than what's not forbidden. Obviously, because the Yetzer Hara. No. This snake, and this snake and this whole dialogue that's going on between Adam and the snake and Chava, the Nachash was the Yetzer Hara. The Nachash was the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Until the Yetzer Das, it was outside of them, a separate entity. Once he got Adam and Chava to sin, once he got Adam and Chava to sin, then the Nachash, the snake, became internalized within the person, and now we have a Yetzer Hara. We have an evil inclination. What's interesting, the Nachash, what was the forgiveness of the sin of the snake? One of the garments of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest in the Beis HaMikdash, was the Choshen. The breastplate that the Kohen Gadol wore with the stones of the, you know, the tribes. The commentaries explain, Choshen is the same letters as Nachash.
Backward.
It's the same letters, just different order. Choshen is Ches Shin Nun, and this is Nun Ches Shin. So it's the same letters, which means the Choshen, the breastplate that the Kohen Gadol wore, forgave for the sin of the snake, which he got them to sin in the Eitz. That's all the Mephoshim said. Kliyaki brings it down in Shmeis. I mean, they all bring it down. Another interesting thing that happened over here, by the way, and not only that, there's another interesting thing. There's three primary metals that were used in the building of the base of the Mishkan in the desert. Gold, silver, and copper. Okay? Kesef, Zahav, Kesef, and Nechashis. Gold, silver, and copper. There's a very interesting question. Okay, it applies here also about the snake to have a better understanding about the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Gold, there's three types of Jews. Tzadikim, that never sin. Bali Tshuva, that repent and don't sin anymore. And then you have the sinners. Okay, three types of Jews. All Jews are classified. You're either a tzaddik, a baal tshuva, or a sinner. The question is, when it comes to building God's Mishkan, gold and silver, I understand, they're very good materials. In fact, there's an argument that the Gemara Bava Metzia in Azov, what is better, gold or silver? The whole argument in the Gemara. What is better, gold or silver? Some opinions say silver is better because more practical. You deal, currency is silver. Gold is too expensive to deal with. Gold, on the other hand, is better. So there's an argument in the Gemara, what's better, gold or silver? So then I can understand why God wanted the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, to be built out of those materials. But Nechashis is copper. It's cheap. Right? It's cheap material. It's not like gold and silver. Why in the world would God want that his temple his Mishkan should be built from copper also. Make everything gold and silver. They just had plenty of money then. They could. There was so much money, Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell the Jews to stop bringing. Like you said, never happened again in history. That the rabbi said, we have enough money to build a shul, to build a Mishkan, you don't have to give any more money. It never happened, never will happen again. Happened only by the Mishkan. So why did Hashem want money from the Nechash? They had enough money to build everything from gold and silver.
Counts for everybody.
So the answer is, these three materials represent three different types of Jews. Let's start with silver. In Hebrew, silver is kesef, right? Silver is whitish. It's not red or, it's a whitish, it's silver, but it's a whitish type of a color. The word kesef in Hebrew comes from the word, we say it in Yedid Nefesh, nichseif nichsafti. I have a longing. I have a desire to be close to God. Kesef, which is white, represents the tzaddik. The one that's close to God, he's clean, he's white, no sins, you know, no redness and all that. Gold has a reddish tint to it, but it's expensive. That represents a person who's about tshuva, a person who, as we call him, a late beginner. They come back to Yiddishkeit a little bit later on in life. Okay, that's about tshuva. Nechashes, copper, that comes from the word nachash, snake, which was the origin of all evil. God said, even those Jews are part of my building of the Mishkan. We don't negate any single Jew. We don't push off any single Jew. Even the sinning Jew, God says, I want to be part of my Mishkan. What are you talking about? Nachash. Nechashes comes from the word nachash, which means the sinning Jew, because all the original sin comes from the nachash. So the nachash was the original Yetzer Hara, which was outside of the body, and then, after the sin, like we said, Adam and Chava, through their sin, internalized the evil within them, and therefore it became the regular Yetzer Hara that we all have. What?
Isn't gold Gevurah?
Yeah.
So how could be Batashuvah?
Because Gevurah is might and power. A lot of great blessings come from Gevurah. You know when Yitzchok blessed Yaakov, what did he tell him? V'yitan l'cha. We say it Saturday night. V'yitan l'cha ho elokim. Yeah, what's Elohim represent? Gvura, strictness. Why doesn't it say V'yitan l'cha Hashem? Right? Because Gvura is power and might. If it's used the right way, it's very powerful. In fact, the Rogan Shavuot says that this argument in the Gemara, if silver is better or gold is better, which one's better, is the same argument that the Gemara has in Brachas, if a Baal Tshuva is greater or a Tzaddik is greater. And he connects the two arguments. There's the one argument in the Gemara that says there's an argument what's better, a tzaddik or a baal tshuva. And there's an argument in the Gemara what's better, silver or gold. He says it's the same argument. Silver represents a tzaddik, gold represents a baal tshuva. Okay? And anyway, coming back to here. So.
Quick one, Rabbi, sorry. Back on the tzitzit thing, real quick. You mentioned, okay.
So I have a good idea. Ask me after the class.
It's a good one. She got pushed up against the tree. Okay? She got pushed up against the tree, saw nothing happened. She touched it. Now, is that sort of like a child that says, okay, my dad told me that wearing tzitzit, I'll forget the mitzvot if I don't wear it. And he doesn't wear it for a day because it's super hot or whatever happens. And he doesn't forget the mitzvot. Could it be related to that? And then...
No.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of the same.
I hear what you're saying, but no. Sorry.
He's bargaining. You know
what I mean? It's not even close, but no cigar. Okay.
Don't forget.
It's nothing to do. It's a good point, but nothing to do with this. What?
One question. It's in the English here. It says your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Is that maybe why the serpent was punished? Because he felt he had eaten of the tree. He felt he was.
Oh, you jumped the gun, man. You're way ahead.
No. I'm in.
You're in Busik Hay, next paragraph already.
No, I'm in Dalit.
Dalit, okay. No.
No, I'm in Hay.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll get there soon.
Okay.
Take the question.
Okay. So, Vayomer Nachash al Yisha le'mais tumusim. Why? Ki yedei elekim, because God knows. Ki b'yayim achocham mimenu. When you eat from this tree of knowledge, v'nifkechu einechem, your eyes will be opened up, and you'll see everything in the proper perspective. V'yiyak elekim, and then you will be like God, yedei tevera, that knows good and bad. Okay? Meaning, like this. The snake, this is what the Medrash says. The snake said to Chava, you know how God created the world? He ate from the tree and then he created the world. That's how he made him so smart to create the world. He's a brilliant engineer, think about it. He created the whole world, right? How did he do it? He did it by eating from the tree. So he says, you know what's going to happen? You're going to eat from the tree. You're going to be a competitor to God. This is what the Medrash says. He doesn't want you to eat from it. Now, other people say, the Yisim Kelokim does not mean God. The simple meaning, it means God. But Unklis and other Mephashim say it means you'll be like the angels. Angels are called Elokim. In the end of Bereshis and in many places in Torah, angels are called Elokim, messengers of God, so they're called Elokim. So they say, you're going to become as great as an angel. Okay? So therefore, God doesn't want you to become the level of angels, and therefore he did all these things that you shouldn't be doing it. Okay. So now he says like this. Vateira Isha, the woman saw, Chava saw in other words. How did she see? She saw intellectually, because she didn't see that was good. The snake convinced her intellectually that it's good to eat from the tree. Just, you get brilliant, you get smart, and all these things. Okay, Vatero Isha, the woman saw, Kitevo eats the Michael. By the way, she didn't have a name yet. The name Chava, afterwards Adam called her Chava. Until now, she was the woman. She didn't have a name yet.
So it was just the sight of Adam till then. But
huh?
I forgot the Hebrew word. So she was just a part of.
No, she was his wife. The woman. Okay, so she saw that. In other words, she understood that Rabbanel says it wasn't only she heard what he said, because the snake communicated orally, right? Then the Pasuk says, she saw. That means she understood it on her own. That what the snake is saying is right. So this, how could she see if the snake only spoke to her? Okay? So, Kitevo ate some Michael's, be good for eating. Okay? In other words, she thought, the Ramban says, that the tree was poisonous. They were simple people, Adam and Chava, right? She said, you know why God told us not to eat from the tree? Because it's poisonous. So we're going to die from it. So then the snake explains, no, that's not why he doesn't want you to eat from it. He doesn't want you to eat from it. He doesn't want you to become like God. So she saw, hey, you're right. Then it's not talking about why should it be poison? Why should God make a poisonous tree? So therefore, 1 second. And it's pleasurable for the eyes because the snake said your eyes are going to open up. Okay? The Nechmado eats the Haskil, and God himself said it's a tree of knowledge, okay, knowing good and bad. So, Vatechel she ate, Vatitin gam li'isha ima, she gave to the husband also, she persuaded him, okay, Vayochal and he ate. Why did Chava give the husband? she didn't want him that she should die and Adam will marry somebody else. So she said, if I die, he's dying with me.
But she believed that this is...
Yeah.
That's love.
No. She wanted him to be as smart as her.
Okay. Now, the Medrash says like this. How did Chava... It said, the Medrash says, instead, Chava was created from God himself. They were very, very great people. Right? Adam and Chava were the ultimate. They weren't created from people. They were created directly from God. Right? So he says like this. Chava initially couldn't get herself to eat from it. So she ate the outer skin. You know, this is not the actual fruit. She ate the skin. She saw that she didn't die. So then she said, you know, the snake must be right. The serpent must be right. And she ate the fruit. When she touched the tree, it says she saw the angel of death and explained, woe is to me, and now I'm going to die. God's going to make another woman and give it to Adam. Okay? So what was she afraid? Oh, I'm going to die, and God will make him another wife, and he'll enjoy himself with another wife instead of me. So she said, no, he's dying with me. So she gave it to him. But the Medrash says it took her a long time of crying and everything to convince Adam Arishan to eat from the tree.
So, but she believed that that it is not harmful, right, at that point? That it is a good fruit and that it gives them power of...
In other words, even before the tree, by the way, according to the opinion, we don't remember, we've discussed the various opinions, what the tree, what the Eitz HaDaas was. Some people say it was a wheat. Some people say it was a fig. Some people say it was an esrig. Some people say it was a grape. According to Kabbalah, the Eitz HaDaas was a grape. By the way, this apple story doesn't say anywhere in Torah books that it was an apple.
Mushrooms?
That's not a tree. Mushrooms, no. No, according to the opinion, that was wheat. No, it was wheat. According to the opinion, that was wheat. Before the Eitz HaDaas, wheat grew like a tree. And then it became cut down. What's interesting, I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago. It doesn't say in the Chumash clearly what the tree was. The Midrashim say, esrig, olive, grape, the various, why doesn't the Torah clearly say what it was? Because God doesn't want that people throughout history should look at that tree and curse it for making all the problems we have in the world. No, it wasn't.
Just for us to imagine.
No, it wasn't eliminated. According to all opinions, that fruit exists today. The reason why God didn't tell us clearly which fruit it was, because we shouldn't go curse the tree. But according to Kabbalah, there's a very interesting thing. According to Kabbalah, the forbiddenness, the sin, the prohibition of eating from the tree was only for 3 hours. According to Kabbalah, when Shabbos came, Adam Rishon, Hashem planned, but in the initial plan, that Adam Rishon should take the grape, squeeze it, make wine, and make Kiddush Friday night. That was the original plan. That means according to Kabbalah, the whole entire prohibition of not eating from the tree was for 3 hours. Which is difficult to understand because a normal person that has a little bit of control, self-control, if you come to somebody and say, listen, this delicious food, in 3 hours from now you're allowed to eat it. It's going to be kosher.
It's going to be cold.
No, she was going to warm it up. She had a blech with the stove for Shabbos. Yeah. So can you imagine if somebody comes to you and say, you know, this delicious piece of food, in 3 hours from now you're going to be able to eat it without any problem. It's going to be a mitzvah to eat, yeah? You have to be an animal that has no self-control to be able to not wait 3 hours. Come on, Adam Rishon was, the great man he was.
Would have had the same effect?
He couldn't have, what?
Would have had the same effect 3 hours later of then having knowledge and knowing...
He wouldn't, then the whole sin wouldn't have existed and all evil in the world. One minute.
Hashem wanted, so why?
Okay, I know he wanted it. 1 minute. So it says why? No, but this shows something. This shows something very important in life. Because it was so important that he doesn't eat from it, that's why the Yetzer Hara, the Nachash, the snake, and the evil inclination worked so diligently for them to do it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been, the Yetzer Hara wouldn't have worked that hard. It was so important to get the person to sin, and therefore, what's the lesson in life? There's a very interesting lesson in life. For some people, this mitzvah is hard to do, and this mitzvah is easier to do. For some people, the same mitzvah that the other guy has easier, for him it's harder. Right? Every person has mitzvahs which are easier to keep, harder to keep. A person needs to understand, and this we learn from the story, by the way, a person needs to understand that the mitzvah, which is the most difficult for us to keep, shows is the most important mitzvah for us to keep. Because if it's not that important, why is God making it so difficult? For another guy, that mitzvah is not difficult. Because for him, that mitzvah that I find difficult is not as important for him as it is for me. And therefore, in life, people need to understand, one second, in life, people need to understand that if you have a mitzvah, which is really tough to keep, it's because it's the most important that you keep it. And that's why your Yetzer Hara is working overtime to get you to sin, because it's so important that you don't. And therefore, in life, we just keep one thing in mind. If this mitzvah is harder for me to keep, that itself shows that I really should work on it to keep it, because that's why God made it so different, the Yetzer Hara is so powerful, that I shouldn't, because it's most important. What?
Why does Dennis Freeman say that?
I don't speak why other people say things.
Well, where does this explanation come that Hava was told by Hashem when they were in the Shamas that they were supposed to do this, this was a sin they were supposed to do, and she convinced Adam because they couldn't go to the lowest world unless they sinned, and that this was the mission all along. Where does this come from?
Ask him. I have enough problems being responsible for what I say. Oh, Avi Chabad, yeah, sure. Yeah.
And you know, you just said that Adam and Hava were created from Hashem,
yeah,
right there. So all these personality traits, okay, that they had, where did that come from? It came from Hashem?
Correct.
They didn't know any other way. So the jealousy, the...
One second. Your personality traits come from whom?
Forget that they were so fresh off the they were the
fresh off the press.
First creation.
Yeah.
I don't know, I had to learn from my father and mother that probably, you know, they were not right or they made a mistake. But God didn't make any mistakes. God brought them into this world immediately after. What did they do? They sinned, they didn't listen, they didn't want to be kosher, they didn't want to, you know, they were just doing everything wrong.
Not everything wrong. They did one thing wrong. They ate the fruit they were told not to eat.
That was their only rule.
Correct.
One rule.
Correct. They had six rules were given to Adam. Adam and Isha was given out of seven night laws. Adam was given six.
But what were they? They didn't talk about the other laws.
The Torah speaks about them.
No.
Bottom line is, God wants, okay, what does God show us? What does God tell us? Let me tell you what you can learn from this, it's late already. God tells us to learn from this. Don't think that you're too great to sin, no matter who you are. Here is the two holiest people in the world that God himself made. No mother-in-laws, can you imagine? No mother-in-laws, not even a father-in-law. No. What's your problem? Okay, good. Yeah? So, a person should say, you know, I'm really great. The Torah says, no, it doesn't matter how great you are. You can still sin. Okay? Now, between me and you, off the record, what did they do already? They killed somebody. They robbed somebody. They hurt somebody. God said, don't eat it, and they ate it. Big deal. We do worse things than that. Yeah? Yes? We do worse things than that? And yeah, we don't get punished that death and working for a living, all the problems we have in life is because of that eating the food. Big deal.
So we're living the punishment.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know,
we're living the punishment. Why? Yeah. Why? Why? Because the Torah teaches us when you do something, one little tiny, I don't want to add the word stupid. When you do a little tiny thing, you are affecting all generations for the rest of the existence of the world. and don't think it's me, it's my house, I could do whatever I want, you know, that's nobody else's business. You do something wrong, no matter how great you are, you do a little thing wrong. They ate, big deal, so they ate. How much, you know how much they ate? According to the Medrash, they took a kazayas, okay, an ounce of the tree, and Adam ate it, and Chava ate it, and Nochash ate it. So there's a whole shadow of Chatzi Shiz, according to the Shtokish, they didn't even do anything wrong. They didn't even, according to that, they ate minimal. They ate a little piece of the fruit. What did they eat already? Yeah? It teaches us that what we do, no matter who we think we are, number one, you're never too great not to sin. And therefore you always have to be on guard. And secondly, to keep in mind that whatever you do, it could be the most tiniest, minuscule thought, speech, or action, will affect not only the world in your time, it will affect the world for all generations. That's what this is all about.
But I'm hearing something different tonight. I feel like if Hashem put that, it can be any sin. It was not about eating. It was that
any sin. That was the sin that, they had.
So, if God was the person that instilled this in them and brought them down here, what does it show me about God? Is he a sinner? Is he somebody that puts evil into the world? Or what does that explain to
you? Who created evil?
God.
Why?
Because you said because the world is dual and it has to be evil in order to be good. It has to be blind.
Evil is not an end by itself. Evil is a means for good to be good. If you don't have the opportunity to do bad, good is not good. If you're programmed to do good, and that's all you can do, then good is not good. Right? By angels, when they do good, it's worthless. Because they're programmed to do good. Correct?
Yes.
Now, God says, yeah, I am creating evil in the world, and I'm going to show to err is human, as the expression goes, and to forgive is divine. God shows from the beginning of the creation of mankind that number one, don't think you're too great to sin just because I created you. And secondly, what's more important, I want you to realize that whatever you do, the tiniest act, okay, number one, don't add or deduct. These are fundamental lessons of life, by the way. Yeah? Plus, be aware, and this is why the Torah tells us the story. Why does the Torah tell us the story? It's a history book. The Torah's teaching us how to live. The tiniest thing that you are going to be doing, whether it's good or bad, and if bad is like this, good is definitely much more. You are going to affect the entire world for all time. God is good. Really good.